Good morning, everyone. Today I want to talk to you about a very important topic, and it's the topic of forgiveness. Irene asked me this week, what is your topic? And when I told her it was the topic of forgiveness, I was also not really happy that this is what God gave to me to preach about. But I will be obedient, and I will preach the Word of God, because there's something that God wants to tell us today. Raise your hand if you think that you are in need of some kind of forgiveness. Can I see a show of hands? Who needs to be forgiven or needs to forgive others? All right, so if I see most of you see that you put your hand up, because we all know that we are all in need of forgiveness. We are all humans. We all make mistakes. We all hurt people, intentionally or unintentionally. And so we need to ask others and ourselves for forgiveness for the things that we've done wrong. So before we start digging into this topic and looking into the life of Joseph, let's take a look at what is forgiveness and what forgiveness is not. Forgiveness is extending grace to another individual, even though they don't deserve it. Forgiveness is a decision to let go of resentment and thoughts of revenge. Forgiveness is lessening its grip on you and choosing not to dwell on it and on the person who has done you wrong. Forgiveness is a commitment to a process of change. So let's take a look at some of the advantages of forgiving other people. John, I need your help. Ah, good. Okay, great. So from the Mayo Clinic, here are some reasons why it is a good thing to forgive others. It can help us in our relationships. It can help us with our anxiety. It can help us to strengthen our immune system, and it can even help our heart. So what would be some of the disadvantages of not forgiving others? Okay, I think we're running out of batteries here. I have to point up there, right? Okay, so here are some of the disadvantages of not forgiving others. We can have some hormonal and immune system problems. We can have some high blood pressure issues. We could have a fast heart rate, or possible fatigue and back aches. Chronic headaches can also be part of holding in bitterness and unforgiveness in our hearts. Sorry, I might need your help here. The hardest part of actual forgiveness is actually doing it. Although all of us know it's the right thing to do, we know it's said in the Bible that we should forgive others as Christ has forgiven us. It is sometimes really hard for us to do because there are people who have deeply wounded us. There are people who have caused us great harm. And sometimes these people who need the forgiveness the most are those that are closest to us. They could be our friends, our family, our spouse, or our siblings. And sometimes forgiveness is not just a one-time deal. It is something that we need to do over and over and over again. Sometimes forgiveness can lead to reconciliation, but sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes forgiveness is mainly to change our lives internally, to bring us wholeness, to bring us peace, and to bring us spiritual healing. The choice to let go of our grudges, the choice to no longer allow our life to be defined by the hurt of another person, is our choice. Forgiveness is a process, and when we choose to forgive, we put ourselves on the pathway towards healing and mending from our wounds. So today I want to look at a biblical example in the Bible, the life of Joseph. Joseph, as you know, was he was one of 12 brothers. He had one full brother named Benjamin, and his second brother, he had 10 other brothers. Joseph was the second youngest in his family, and he was his dad's favorite because he was born to Jacob at a young age. His dad, Jacob, loved to lavish him with great gifts, such as a multicolored garment or coat, which only caused his brothers to become more jealous of him. They decided they were planning and plotting to kill Joseph because they were so jealous of him and wanted to get rid of him. So they came up with a plan. They decided, first of all, that they were going to put him into a pit, and then they were going to kill him. But then after Reuben's advice, they decided not to kill him, but sell them to the Ishmaelite traders that were passing by. And they sold him for 20 pieces of silver. They wanted to let their dad that they made up a story that Joseph had died by dipping Joseph's colorful coat in some blood so that he would think that he was killed by wild animals. Let's fast forward a little bit to 20 years when Joseph is in Egypt. We know he was first found favor by the Pharaoh. And then he was put into prison because of something that they thought he did with his wife. But then he was released from prison, and then he was given all the lands in Egypt because he was able to interpret Pharaoh's dreams. According to Pharaoh's dreams, there were going to be 7 good years, and there would be also 7 bad years of famine. Joseph came up with the idea to save 1/5 of the crop so that so when the famine years hit, they would be okay. And there would be enough grain to last and feed all the people so that they would not starve. It was during the second year of famine that Jacob's family had no more grain. They had to go to Egypt to ask for grain from Joseph. So the 10 brothers made their long trip to go and buy the grain. The brothers approached Joseph with this request, and Joseph recognized them immediately. But they did not recognize him because he was dressed like an Egyptian and he was speaking through an interpreter. Joseph first accuses them of being spies, and then he asks them to prove their honesty. Through a series of tests, God is humbling them and making them aware of what they did to Joseph over 20 years ago. Joseph warns the brother that he gives them the grain, and then they return back to their father. Simeon remains behind. But Joseph warns them, if you want to come back, next time you have to bring your brother Benjamin with you. Otherwise, I will not meet with you face to face. So some time has passed. They now need to return back to Egypt to buy the grain. They bring Benjamin along with them. And now is the final test. Joseph accuses them of stealing a silver cup. Little to their knowledge, the 10 brothers play innocent, and they say to themselves, we didn't steal it. If we stole it, then you can kill the person who has this cup in their bag. But little did they know that Joseph was the one who planted that cup in Benjamin's bag. And when they found out the truth, that the cup was in his bag, their hearts dropped, because they knew that their father would die a premature death if he found out that Benjamin could not return with them. So Judah pleads for Joseph to take him instead of Benjamin, because he does not want to see his father go through such sorrow once again. Now, starting in our passage in Genesis 45, we see that Joseph cannot take it anymore. He sees that he is no longer able to control his strong emotions. So now he tells all the attendants to leave. He tells them, everybody leave my presence. And now he is alone with his brothers. And what happens here is quite remarkable. Joseph, the one who was wronged by his brothers by being sold into slavery by his brothers, is now the one who is breaking down, and he is crying. Why would he be crying? And why is he weeping? Because, one, he hasn't seen his brothers in over 20 years. Second of all, God has been working in his heart to forgive them. This weeping was not such a weeping out of sorrow, but it was a weeping of pure joy, of being reunited with his family again. The weeping was so loud that the Egyptian household and the pharaohs could hear him. And usually a public figure would not weep in the presence of others. So this was very unusual that Joseph would break down and cry. So what does his emotional reaction tell us about Joseph? It tells us, first of all, that he was extremely glad to see his brothers. But it also shows that he realized that the separation was something that he didn't want to continue anymore. So how do you think the brothers must have responded to this bombshell? That now, the brother that they thought was dead is now alive. Well, the brothers most likely were very shocked. They could have been angry with themselves because of what they did. And they had to come to account for the deeds that they had done wrong against Joseph. So what does this tell us about Joseph and his ability to forgive? Joseph was able to take the first step. Joseph was able to forgive first. So it's highly unusual to think about this. Somebody has wronged you, but you're the one who forgives them? That's exactly what Joseph did. He chose to forgive first. So what is so difficult about choosing to forgive first? Well, first of all, you need humility and you need courage to forgive first. You have to give up your right to be right all the time. And you have to do what is in the best interest of others. That's hard. But Joseph decided to do that because he wanted to keep a relationship with his family. His love for his family was more important to him than whether he was right or not. So that is one of the reasons why Joseph would have broken down in sorrow, the sense that they were separated for so long, but joy that they were now reunited together again. And he did not want to let them go now that they were reunited. So this was an example of how Joseph loved his brothers extravagantly. I use that word and I'm having a hard time pronouncing it. Extravagantly, because he was the one who forgave first. He took the first step. So let's take a look at the second example. Okay, PowerPoint doesn't like me today. Okay, so he reunites with his brothers. Okay, he's weeping, all right, and am I supposed to point here? Okay, so here's just some examples of what. Okay, sorry, John, I'm going to need you to help me. So what is the second reason then why did Joseph choose to love his brothers and forgive his brothers extravagantly? If you look at verse 4 to 7, you will see that he realizes that this is all God's act. This is all part of God's sovereign plan. He says in verse 7, "But God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance." And then in verse 5, he says that it was God who sent me ahead of you. Joseph could see that it was God's plan to send him ahead of him. And even though his brothers had wronged him, he still realized that God was still involved. God's work is done even independent of God's the brothers' actions. And it was God's plan to relocate Joseph from Canaan to Egypt. So, and his purpose was to save many lives, especially during the famine. He reassures his brothers that all will be well because God's purposes will work the way they are supposed to. And even after Jacob dies, the brothers still are wondering, has Joseph really forgiven me? And Joseph reassures his brothers with these words. In Genesis chapter 50, verse 19 to 20, he says, "Don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended for good to accomplish what is done, now being done, the saving of many lives. So don't be afraid. I will provide for you and your children." So this was God's plan all along. So if this was God's plan to bring him to Egypt and to save many lives, there's no reason for him to not forgive. And the final reason that we're going to talk about is that Joseph could see that if he didn't forgive them, that they would be starving in the famine. So Joseph comes up with a plan to rescue his family and bring them to the land of Goshen. So he brings them to this land. You see Goshen is on the top of the map there, okay, near the Nile River. and then they will become shepherds in that land. He gives them food and clothing for the journey. He provides transport for them to move all their belongings from Canaan to Egypt. They're in charge of his livestock. He gives his father 10 female donkeys and 10 male donkeys. And everything is provided for them. When Joseph is faced with the choice of whether to save his family or not, he chooses to save them. That is extraordinary and extravagant forgiveness. His actions prove to Jacob, his father, that he is genuine in his forgiveness. When Jacob sees all the provisions that have been provided to him through the Pharaoh and also through Joseph, he knows that Joseph has truly forgiven him and forgiven the brothers. And he is happy to relocate to Egypt to be with his long-lost son again. Now the brothers are faced with this dilemma of having to forgive themselves for the things that they have done wrong, because they are the ones who wronged him first. So in the process of forgiving themselves, that's only when they can receive. That's the only point when they can receive the gifts that Joseph wants to give to them. So when I thought about the way that Joseph forgives and the way that God forgives us, I see some parallels in the way that both Joseph and God forgives. First of all, Joseph's brothers were undeserving of Joseph's love and forgiveness, but yet it was God who extends his salvation and forgiveness to them. I see that Joseph's main reason to forgive his brothers was because he loved them, and that is the same reason why God forgives us, is because he loves us. And thirdly, I see that when we receive God's salvation and forgiveness, we also need to be ready to receive the gifts that God wants to give us and not to feel guilty or shameful for what we've done. Because once we're forgiven, God forgives us, remembers no more. So you see the parallels between Joseph and the way God loves us, and you see the way that he forgives us too. Ah, yes, it works. Okay, so what is one of the main reasons why we need to forgive? To be a Christian means to forgive the inexcusable because God has forgiven the inexcusable in us. This is a quote from C.S. Lewis. I want to tell you a story about this lady. Her name is Scarlett Lewis. Does anybody know who this lady is? No? Okay, well, let me tell you then. On December the 14th, 2012, there was an incident in Sandy Hook Elementary School in Newtown, Connecticut. 19 children and 6 teachers were killed that day. And then the gunman put the gun to himself and killed himself. It was one of the most deadly mass shootings in U.S. history. And 6-year-old Jesse, the one on the left, was also shot to death by a gunman named Adam Lanza. That morning, Jesse had given his mom, Scarlett, a big hug and had wrote a message on her car that said, "I love you." Scarlett took a picture with Jesse and kissed him goodbye, unbeknowing of herself that that would be the last picture that she would take with her son. And when Scarlett found out that Jesse was dead and was killed by Adam in his school, she wept bitterly for her loss. But there was a message that Jesse left on her chalkboard that morning that helped her to get through her grief and move towards forgiving Adam the shooter for what he had done to her son. On the chalkboard, scribbled with phonetic letters, were these words: "Nurturing, healing, love." After some time, Scarlett was able to choose a path of forgiveness, which became central to her resilience, and it gave her hope to move on from this tragedy. When Scarlett made the choice to forgive Adam for killing her child and forgive his mom for supplying the weapon to kill him, she felt such a sense of freedom from finally being set free from the shooter that had taken away her son. In her words, Scarlett said, "When I was able to forgive, it was like the shooter was attached to me by some umbilical cord, and it was like a shooter was attached to me by some umbilical cord, and all my energy was sapped away. However, when I was able to forgive him, I felt like there was a big pair of scissors that was able to cut the tie between me and the shooter, and I was able to regain my personal power. It started with a choice and then became a process with no neat ending." So this was the story of Jesse Lewis. And at his funeral service, Scarlett Lewis encouraged everyone to choose love rather than hate. And in his memory, she started an organization called the Jesse Lewis Choose Love Foundation. It is founded, the money, all the proceeds go towards ending bullying, violence, and suicide in the classrooms. So this lady, who faced such great pain from her son being taken away, a senseless death, was able to find the ability to forgive him and his mom. It's only with God that she was able to do that. So all of us in our lives have people that are difficult for us to forgive. We have people that we might not choose to forgive because it's too painful to forgive them. But it's only through forgiving them that we can be set free. It's only from forgiving them that we can gain our personal power again, just like Scarlett Lewis received. Remember, forgiveness is not about being right. Forgiveness is about letting go. Forgiveness is about choosing love rather than hatred. I found this when I was doing a Google search, which I think was pretty meaningful. It says, to forgive is to set a prisoner free and discover that that prisoner was you. And although forgiveness does not erase the past mistakes that others have done against us, it can definitely change our future if we choose the path of forgiveness. Forgiveness is not so much about reconciling about others, but choosing to forgive in our hearts, individually, and leaving the results to God. It's about making a change, to break the chains of unforgiveness that have been holding us hostage for so long. Break free from and give yourself the freedom to live a life of a freedom and wholeness, and to be healed from your wounds. With God's help, He can heal you. And we can go down the path of forgiving others, which is what God would want us to do. So our job is to go back to this step. Take the first step. Let go and forgive. Let's pray. Father, we just want to thank you that your Spirit is with us. And your Spirit helps us to be able to overcome any obstacles that might be in our way. Thank you, Lord, for speaking to us through our message. And I pray, Lord, that the work that you've done in our hearts right now will not stop here. But, Lord, that you will begin to help us to wrestle with this thought of forgiveness and unforgiveness. And may you work in our hearts, Lord, to know who is it that we need to forgive. Who is it that we need to let go of? Who is it that we need to start this journey of taking the first step and letting go and allowing you to do your work in us so we can be truly healed. So Lord, I pray that you would continue to do that work in us, Lord. Help us when we're too weak to do it. Help us when we don't feel like it. But teach us how to obey, because this is your command to us, that we would forgive as Christ would forgive us. So as we remember your great forgiveness for us, Lord, help us to help that to compel us to forgive others. In Jesus' name we pray.